Science Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Science Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is August 10th, 2017. In turmoil, most still don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So, folks, if you haven't got out of sin and you're still in the world, you need to get out of sin and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Look to Yeshua. Hear that sound of the shofar? You need to heed the warning and get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice tonight. If you had not made the point to accept Yeshua as your Savior, you need to do it tonight. If you need help after the program, I'll pray for you. Call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, leave your name, your number, prayer request, and or message. Phone number, of course, 620-878-4682. And an emergency. My cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Now, you can always find updates, breaking news, the Wichita Mission Church radio program archive, Wichita Mission Church radio program archives, contact information, all this at our ministry hub, which is what? Simply prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. Anyway, remember, prayer requests can be sent by United States Postal Service and email, or email with your return address and your phone number to call you back. These requests will be taken to Wichita Mission Church, anointed with oil, prayed over if you so choose, sent back to you at your request with no solicitation for donation, or we don't even have to send them back. We can just throw them away, whatever you desire. We have a request form, or, you know, a contact form, which you can use as a prayer request form on the right-hand side of Prophecy Hour and MessiahBranch.com pages. Remember, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally, YouTube, and on some FM stations. So please pray about supporting airtime. On another note, let's thank our listener base that is worldwide in places like Kampala, Uganda, Bangkok, Thailand, Prague, Czech Republic, Antwerp, Antwerp, Belgium, Vancouver, Canada. And of course, cities in the good old USA such as Raleigh, North Carolina, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Corpus Christi, Texas, Las Vegas, Nevada, and Phoenix, Arizona, as well as Wichita, Kansas, which remains the largest group of listeners, at least to our radio programs when they podcast later on tonight. And yes, this is a live radio program, which is simulcast on the net, but it will podcast later on tonight. Now, prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, Father, I really pray radio goes tonight according to your will and not my will. And please, Father, give everybody out there ears in which the truth, lift the veil from their ears. In Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, amen and amen. Well, folks, before we get started, I am the guest tonight, and we have a really good program for you, some great information about North Korea. But first, let's have a song to kind of set the mood that I'm in.
entices them with pleasures, and further down that road they are drawn. And as I fix my eyes on humanity, watching as they run to and fro, a burden fills my heart and the time is short. Snatch his soul from entering hell. But don't you know these evil days are numbered? So get to work and do your job well. And as I fix my eyes on humanity, watching as they run to and fro, a burden fills my heart and the time is short. You're soon on my heart. Now don't forget we haven't much time. The vineyard dry, the field is wide, the workers are few, and the harvest time is now in its prime. As I fix my eyes on humanity, watching as they run to and fro, a burden fills my heart and the time is short.
Folks, that was a song by Brother Ben, and it does kind of set my mood, because, you know, the people out there, most people out there just don't know or realize that we are in such turmoil across the planet. I don't get how people don't see it as that. They just want to go on as life as normal, but it's not normal out there. Anyway, we know it's all over the news and everything else today. We're going to kind of talk about North Korea and some other things, but they say the greatest threat to our nation, even Trump said it, the greatest threat to our nation during his presidency would be dealing with North Korea. However, I think there's going to be some things larger than North Korea. But as you all know, they've threatened, that is North Korea, threatened to shoot missiles close to Guam that would also fly over Japan. Now, first thought for everyone is, you know, they say that these missiles that they would shoot would, you know, they would be just test missiles, so to speak, that they wouldn't be armed. Well, first thought for everyone is to know, would they really be armed missiles, or what would they be? I guess that if they're not armed and we do nothing and just let them shoot over Japan and land close to Guam, everyone is going to be safe, right? Well, I really don't think so. But what if they are armed and we do nothing? And their missiles in the past have not proved to be very accurate. So even an unarmed missile hitting Guam or maybe dropping in Japan could be very devastating. Anyway, if you look at this, it is going to take some very cool heads to prevail in this, because a war with North Korea is just almost insanity. But I agree they have to be dealt with somehow, and maybe you'll agree with me before we get done with this. Even with their missiles maybe being able to hit inside the continental USA, there's still a much bigger threat with their nuclear program, and that is an ongoing alliance with Iran, the biggest sponsor of terrorism in the world. You can be assured that North Korea, as they have in the past, is sharing technology with them, and the newest of which is miniaturizing the warheads, which Iran probably helped them get to that point. Iran will gladly use that tech by giving it to terrorists who could strike most anywhere in the world. Iran, or should we call it by another name, Persia, is one of the main nations that will attack Israel, as said in numerous places in the Bible, such as Ezekiel 38:39 and Psalm 83. Now, Psalm 83, you say, is a limited war with Israel. Well, folks, I agree with Joel Richardson and many other researchers who say that Psalm 83 also refers to Armageddon, which is exactly what Ezekiel 38 and 39 believes, which Ezekiel 38:39 is. Do not believe, folks, do not believe that Psalm 83 is limited war, as it is not. It was dreamed up by pre-tribulation rapture people who see a war between Israel and Persia and some other nations before rapture occurs. So the Psalm 83 war explains that to the pre-trib rapture crowd. In other words, they've been doing their research and they see now that war is going to happen before anybody flies out. So now they have came up with Psalm 83. I do respect the author of Psalm 83, and he's been on this radio program before, but he is simply wrong. And just as he is with the pre-trib rapture theory. So, you know, Iran is a very big concern, because before the rapture, I believe that the world will be in a lot of turmoil before the major war comes, which could mean a nuclear weapon off in the United States. What better way by a terrorist? And North Korea does have the way, and what if they gave it to another nation? North Korea, and they do have the way to explode it as an EMP, and that would be devastating. So any way you look at it, what North Korea, a war with them is just pretty crazy, you know. And it was pointed out, the technology that we're dealing with right now is technology that was given by Bill Clinton in return for some things. But the point is Trump said way back when Bill Clinton gave them nuclear reactors, way back, Trump said, do you want to deal with this? He said it was insanity. He said that if we didn't deal with it way back then and stop their nuclear program, that someday somebody would have to do it. Wow, I'm not saying he's a prophet or nothing, but that was real prophetic. I wonder if he ever gave it at that thought at that moment that he was talking about, that he would be the one that would end up having to deal with North Korea. Anyway, the clip's online. I'm sure you can find it someplace of Trump talking about it. So, you know, the news media out there is calling him completely insane and trying to blame all this on them. And all he said is, if you strike us, I will strike back with fire and fury. Maybe he has something up his sleeve that we don't know about, but I don't know what it is. I'm not the military. I don't know about their top secret stuff, so I don't know what they have or what they don't. But let's listen to this about what a war with North Korea would look like. And we have this from Zero Hedge. Now, it says, insanity or not, as Capital Economics write in a May 17 note, the most important impact of a full-scale conflict on the North Korean peninsula, or on the Korean peninsula, would be a massive loss of life. And that's right, folks, and for these reasons. Couldn't the United States try a surgical strike? Well, it probably wouldn't work well enough. Zero Hedge just goes on saying, North Korea's missiles and nuclear facilities are dispersed and hidden throughout the country's mountainous terrain. Failing to hit them all would leave some 10 million people in Seoul, 38 million people in the Tokyo vicinity, and tens of thousands of U.S. military personnel in Northeast Asia vulnerable to missile attacks with either conventional or nuclear warheads. Even if the United States managed to wipe out everything, Seoul would still be vulnerable to attacks from North Korea's military. Now, this is very true. If you miss anything, unless they took out the leader right at the first, but, you know, then the people that are under him, would they stop to save themselves from annihilation? I don't really think so. I think it's all prime. They've been looking for this for a long time. So let's go on with this. Why would Kim go nuclear? Even a limited strike by the United States would run a risk of being understood by the North Koreans to be the beginning of a much, much larger strike. And they might choose to use their nuclear weapons, said Jeffrey Lewis, director of the East Asian Nonproliferation Program at the Middlebury Institute of International Studies. Somehow the U.S. would need to signal to both North Korea and China that, North Korea and China and trading partner, that a surgical strike is limited and that they should avoid nuclear retaliation. Really, they should avoid it? what this nut Kim, what has he been doing? And there is the possibility, you know, we have China is their ally. Whether you know it or not, they are their ally. Anyway, is regime change an option? New leadership wouldn't necessarily lead to a new way of thinking among North Korea's leadership. Kim's prolonged exposure to Western values while at school in Switzerland led some to speculate that he might opt to open his country to the world until he took power and proved them all wrong. Moreover, if Kim somehow were targeted for removal, the ruling clique surrounding him would have to go as well, making for a very, very, very long kill list. China, fearing both a refugee crisis and U.S. troops on its border, would likely seek to prop up the existing regime. In fact, China has moved troops to the border for just that reason, to stop an overflow of people. So China's taking this serious, the world's serious, and we have to keep coming back to that. How can we win this? Because they have so many just conventional weapons that it would lead to a massive loss of life. The only way is if they would have to bomb North Korea, I think, out of existence. Anyway, let's go on. We have some other things on it. What does it mean in all-out war with the best? Isn't that the best U.S. option? Well, a full-scale invasion would be necessary to quickly take out North Korea's artillery, as well as its missile and nuclear programs. Any sign of an imminent strike, such as a buildup of U.S. firepower, mobilization of South Korea and Japanese militaries, and the evacuation of American citizens in the region, could prompt North Korea to strike preemptively. China and Russia may also get sucked in. Realistically, war needs to be avoided, said John Dillery, an assistant professor of international studies at Yonsei University in South Korea. When you run at any cost-benefit analysis, it's insanity. And just that, you know, you have to remember, we, United States on the other side of the world, even though we have things stationed there, any massive move to, like it says, to move our people around or, you know, send more ships there, send more soldiers there, or protect the ones that are there, anything scaling up for preparedness could lead them to believe that we are going to do this, and so they could strike preemptively. Now, on another note, though, if we did start making those preparations, and this is my opinion, then North Korea might just simply buckle and say, okay, we give up. You know, we believe that you really do this. I don't think so, however. I don't think so. There's so many lives to be lost in the region, whether it's North or South Koreans, and yes, North Koreans, people at Guam where we have Americans stationed at, people there's all kinds of Americans in Japan, and we have so many, like I said before, stationed in South Korea. So it would be a massive loss of American lives also, not just the Asian lives. Okay. Having said that, how would North Korea retaliate? Well, that's a good question. It depends really on what we leave them with, but we have this. The most immediate reaction would likely be massive artillery fire on Seoul and its surroundings. North Korean artillery installations along the border can be advocated faster than air or naval assets and larger ballistic missiles that can target South Korea. Japanese or American bases in the region with nuclear, chemical, and biological weapons. Those countries have ballistic missile defense systems in place, but can't guarantee they will shoot down everything. Japan has begun offering advice to its citizens on what to do in the event of a missile lands near them. Essentially, try to get underground. In other words, hide, get underground, whatever. And U.S. firms are marketing missile shelters over there and in the USA. Since the North Korean thing has popped up, there has been an increase, guess what, in preparations once again, and in rich people buying bomb shelters. Well, rich people buying bomb shelters, I believe the Father will look out for the poor, but, you know, the Word does say in Revelation that people would be trying to go into the caves and caverns to hide themselves for what's coming. Anyway, while it's unclear if North Korea can successfully target a United States city like Denver or Chicago with a nuclear ICBM, it's similarly unknown if the United States defense systems can strike it down, adding to American anxieties. Well, so as we're looking at this, folks, you're just seeing it's craziness on both sides. This should have been done away with a long time ago, but it wasn't. So what is the alternative? Letting North Korea have these nuclear weapons? That's just really not an option. I mean, it is maybe on a temporary basis, but they're going to give them to Iran if they don't already have them. And, you know, we are just in that time of the end, folks. That's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So that's just where it's at. And it's just not good. So, folks, you need to be prayed up. And in the meantime, though, we're going to get ready to take a break here. And so I want you to go over and look at our website, which is prophecyhour.com. Look around there and see what we do with the homeless and poor missions. And you can learn everything about us at prophecyhour.com. And we'll be back in 3 minutes.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
We're back. You're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, folks, I really felt like the need to talk to you tonight. That's why I had a guest for tonight, but I put him off till next week. His name, well, I won't go into his name, but his book is called Missile Man, put out by WorldNet Daily, and you should check it out. This man's dad, after so many years, he exposed to his children that he was actually instead of a salesman, he was a person that built missiles. We'll talk about it next week. Anyway, first up, the sound still isn't what it's supposed to be. You know, I had one of my radio guests, told me that I am on the air simply by duct tape and baling wire. And that's what it feels like because, you know, I'm used to the sound being good. I'm used to my mixer board and everything. And I'm using this, USB headset. And, it's really, just like that. It's just put together. I mean, I'm not used to that. And we shouldn't have quality radio. You know, I get these guests and they've written books and they've done all these things. I like to give them the best quality experience that there is so that people will listen to the program and come back. Well, why do I need people to listen to the program so much? Well, you know, because, yeah, I'm a pastor. Well, we run a mission church, and, you know, the Wichita Mission Church is a place for the homeless and poor. You know, it's not just homeless people, but it's also poor people. And therefore, the people, and besides the homeless and poor that we help, we also have another little small congregation, you know, that's mostly a couple of families. And, you know, we don't have the money that it takes to do what we do of helping thousands upon thousands of these people that we've been helping all these years. And so, folks, we really do need your help, both for the Wichita Mission Church and for radio. I need to get these things going on. If you want to help, you don't have to send me any money. You can say, hey, I want to help. I'll buy a piece of equipment or something or a computer. I will give you send you a link to what we need. You can purchase it and have it delivered to us. So if you don't want to make a donation that way, you can do it that way. There's many ways that you can help out. But we need help for radio airtime. You know, we're into a new month and we haven't paid all our airtime up yet. So, You know, a lot of this, though, is because of the summer slump also, because we always go through the slump until school starts back because people are doing other things, vacations or whatever, or sidetracked with their children. And I'm not picking on anybody. It's just that's what happens every summer. But anyway, so pray about it. Support us so we can care for the people that the Father sends us. People, men, women, and children from all walks of life. You know, and we get no help from really any help in Wichita from any organized churches or government agencies. It's only folks like you that supported us that we're now in our 18th year that make this Wichita Mission Church work. Yes, we care and minister to people in a part of town that most people don't like to drive through after dark. And in the daytime, it's not a good place to be at anyway. In fact, the city of Wichita has just started doubling the police patrols right in our area. In fact, the street they talked about when they were on the TV set talking about it was the South Broadway corridor. And you folks that are listening in Wichita, you know what that is. That's right where we are at. We're dead set in the heart of it. So pray about it. So why do so many people come to us for help? You know, there's some agencies out there. Well, they come to us because we treat them like family. We give people relationships, and we don't bug them and ask them for their names and things. If they want to tell us their names, we'll talk to them about it. You know, if they bring it up, they bring it up. We don't bring it up. And so, we need your help. That's just kind of the short and long of it. We are last hope for so many folks, and we are responsible to care one for another, as we are brothers keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. If you don't wish to help with the poor, consider a donation for radio airtime, as, again, it's not free, and is not free. And I'm sorry, folks, I got sidetracked. I had to stop the computer from restarting with an update. Anyway, pray about it, folks. Pray about a donation. You can donate online or mail a check or money order. And now we'll go back to talking about North Korea. I'm going to bring Frank in here because he's got some real opinions on North Korea. So, Frank, are you with me today?
I am.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you made a real good point during break, and that's what really made me decide to have you come on, is you were saying you think all this North Korea thing might be about something else. Well, what's that something else it could possibly be about?
Well, you know, there's a million things it could be. And what I mean by that, for those of you out there going, what does that mean? It means that, okay, you ever seen, these people that call, you know, the magicians, the illusionists? You know, they always get up there and they come out with the chick in the bikini and well, her purpose is to distract you. Okay? Her purpose is so you're not watching him. Because, you know, if you know how the tricks are done, it doesn't make it as much fun to watch. You know, oh yeah, that's done. You know, big deal. You know, that's what they're there for. And the government has done this over and over and over to us on so many different things where they'll create the buzz over here. Mm-hmm. You know, and they'll make whatever it is the biggest thing on earth. You know, it's the most important thing in the planet right now that we need to, you know, oh my gosh, every news agency, every politician, everybody everywhere is talking about this. But a lot of the times, it's much ado about nothing. They're just hyping it up. Now, why would they do that? Well, the same reason the magician brings the chick in the bikini. To distract you from something they don't want you knowing about. Now, what could that be now? Oh, gosh. You know what? I bet the listeners got a list out there. They're going, I think it's this. I think it's that. Well, you know, and you know what? Any one of them could be right. I mean, look what we're going to have. We're going to have a fight over the budget. We're going to have a fight over the debt ceiling. Hey, they still got a war going on in Syria, you know, and that's about money. That's about commerce, and that's about oil. The reason Syria has been attacked and is under attack is because Saudi Arabia wants to put, and when I say Saudi Arabia, that means the U.S. also, wants to put a pipeline to feed Europe natural gas and oil.
Yeah.
It's a huge market, and it'd be a lot cheaper and easier to just pipe it there rather than put it on ships. And that's what they've done. And you can look this up on the internet, folks. I mean, they have diagrams and, planned routes and everything that you can see exactly where it goes. And this is what they want. And seeing as how Russia is already feeding Europe natural gas and oil, Russia is a longtime ally of Syria. The Assad government told Saudi Arabia, no, you know, we're not backstabbing our ally for you. So right away, what happens? He's a horrible man. We have to get rid of him. Let's bomb him because he's mean to somebody in his country, which isn't really true.
Yeah, that's a big lie. I seen that, and I brought it up on last week's program, but I'm going to point it out again. That guy has better approval ratings by his own people, and a huge amount of them have been refugees and came back, but they have better ratings for him than most leaders in the world with their own people.
Sure.
That's craziness.
Oh, it's true, and, you know, so did Gaddafi, though, and, you know, we killed him, too. Because it wasn't about oil or gas there, it was about gold. See, he was going to create, he was creating a currency backed by gold. And that can't happen. You know, that's another thing that can't happen. So, but that's just one example. Then we go to the domestic side. Maybe it hasn't got anything to do with international. Maybe this Korean thing is to get us looking out of the country because they don't want us to see something in the country. Something like the whole Russian narrative is falling apart. The Democratic Party is about to, if we had an honest DOJ, would all be going to jail about now. You know, those Pakistani IT workers in Debbie Wasserman Schultz's office,
right.
You know, maybe they had something to do with the Russian leak narrative. Maybe they have something to do with anything, you know, anything could be going on. They should all be going to jail. Maybe we're not supposed to be looking at that. All I'm saying is North Korea by itself, I'm wondering if this is the case, okay? If we're all shaking in our boots over North Korea and it's like, oh my gosh, we don't know what to do, you know, because if we do anything, we'll kill somebody. And oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. Why do we even have a military then? Why have we been spending hundreds of trillions of dollars at the Pentagon if we can't deal with a North Korea? I mean, North Korea is not a world power. They can barely feed their own people.
Right.
You know, and all of a sudden they become a major threat. Now, and look, if I was Japan or South Korea, you know, I'd be concerned, but I would have been concerned with or without missiles or nuclear weapons because, gosh, they've got a huge army because it's the only job in town.
Right, right.
It's the only place you get fed in North Korea is if you're in the North Korean army.
Let me throw something out there, and I want your honest opinion on it. Now, you heard a little bit about what I said from Zero Hedge, you know, but let's go with this. If we do anything, because they do have a massive military that is, conventional weapons, that it, without nuclear weapons, they are a huge threat because we have a lot of troops left over from the Korean War that are stationed there, and they could attack South Korea at any time. And so if we were to do anything limited, aren't we under that severe threat? So does it really even make any sense that we could do anything to these people short of just getting rid of them completely, or would that even work? Back to you.
Well, you know, I mean, I really don't, you know, and I don't know the inner workings of who Trump has talked to and who he hasn't talked to, but, you know, I said on my show, or just before this one, that, you know, if it would have been me, the first call I'd have made, the minute I, you know, this became a problem that I had to deal with,
right?
I'd have called the Chinese premier, and I'd say, listen there, Ping, or whatever your name is, you need to deal with this. These are your problems. It's your front yard, and you've been their ally. You were on their side in the North Korean in the Korean War. Now you need to do something about this, and you've got 1 week. Because if you don't, then I'm going to do something about it. And I would get cooperation or not from the people in the region. And if they said no, we're not going to do anything about it, fine. Then I would do something about it. Don't come crying later when a bunch of people got killed. Well, then you know what? You should have took care of it, like I told you.
Right. Absolutely. I believe that And I do believe that. I believe that China should be the one to deal with this because they created the problem. They're the ones that allowed them to do this and so on and so forth.
They kind of know. Now, the Chinese kind of know a little better than that, though, see? They know a little better about that than they didn't create this all by themselves. They had the help of the United States government.
Yeah, like Bill Clinton. You know, so, most people don't know Bill Clinton gave them reactors.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's why we're facing a nuclear threat. He gave them reactors. I mean, you know, it should have been, and that's a clip that I thought was really different, was Trump talking about this situation, but when Bill Clinton gave him the nuclear reactors. And you know what? What he said then is almost the same thing that he's saying exactly now.
Well, you know, I didn't see the video, but I did read an article. It was an interview with Tim Russert from 1999. Where basically Donald Trump exactly described the situation, exactly it is as it is today, and exactly what he is doing about it is exactly what he said would have to be done about it in 1999. That was 18 years ago, man, and he had the same, you know, look, I like consistency. I'm a big fan of consistency because I know the truth is easy to remember. You don't have to remember the truth. You just tell the truth, and it always comes out the same, right?
Right.
You don't have to remember anything. You just tell the truth, it always comes out the same, because it's the truth.
Right.
You know, and consistency over decades, to me, means you're just telling the truth, because it keeps coming out the same. And really, nobody's really that good of a liar to keep a lie consistent for decades. I mean, these guys in Washington can't even tell a decent lie, you know, for 5 seconds anymore. I mean, it's so transparently a lie.
Yeah, that's true. I shouldn't laugh about it, but it is true. You know it's fake. It's just crazy. And what really amazes me is that CNN and all these people, you know, they have people still actually watch that. They're so hoodwinked and believe it. They believe they're garbage, and it's just, you know, crazy. But
guess who's going on CNN for the first time ever?
Who?
Bill O'Reilly.
Are you kidding me?
I mean, he's not going to be a host. He's going to be a guest on CNN.
Oh, okay.
First time ever, though. He's never been on CNN.
Well, you know, Bill O'Reilly, I like Bill O'Reilly. He's got some good points and bad points, but Bill O'Reilly's pretty consistent in the way he talks. But he's just different. But that's really different.
Yeah.
But
I hate it because of what you just said is true. But the thing is, when you have people like him even giving them the legitimacy of being a guest on there, a lot of conservatives will think, well, you know, maybe CNN's just got some value because Bill O'Reilly went on there. And, you know, I don't think it does anybody any good for Bill O'Reilly, except maybe Bill O'Reilly. He's probably selling a book or something that he wants to push. But, you know, the thing is, I don't look at it as a loyalty thing to Fox News or anything like that because they threw him under the bus. But the thing is, it's a disservice to the American people because there are people out there that trust Bill O'Reilly.
Well,
and if he goes on CNN, then that trust, at least some of it, is going to be put on CNN.
Very good. And that same rule applies to across the board. It's just like if I have somebody on here that has a view that's, you know, damaging, but he has something useful, you know, I take the chance of them saying, well, he believes that, so he must believe everything the guy says. So, you know, and so that's why I'm, you know, pretty picky about my guests. And, you know,
you also do a disclaimer that says, look, I don't agree with, you know, everything everybody says that I have on, but, you know, hey, and you, maybe you don't either, but take what you can use and don't use the rest, you know. But the fact is, people are sheep out there, and it's just like you, Dan. If somebody just starts, you know, worshiping Dan, you know, oh, Dan's the guy, you know, whatever Dan does is, I want to emulate Dan. I love that Dan Catlin guy. And, well, Dan shops at this store, so I'm going to start shopping at that store, right?
Boy, this should be a wrong move.
And that's how people are, though. They think, well, I love that guy, and if that guy shops at that store, well, I'm shopping at that store, too. You know,
it is. I know you're saying it. It's absolutely right, and it's crazy, but it is absolutely right.
And so I don't think it's helpful for Bill O'Reilly to be doing that. But you know,
he can do what he wants.
But like I said, he's probably got a book to hawk or something.
Yeah. Well, let me throw something else out into this. You know, Trump is. You know, I love Trump, but he is only as good as the people that are advising him. Do you know what I mean?
Boy, if that's the case, then he's got real problems.
Well, I mean, you know, if he's not getting fed good information, and well, I mean, he's standalone, yeah, he's a great guy. But, you know, I don't trust some of his cabinet, like McMaster. That guy is just totally off the wall. You know, he's been firing people that suggested to get rid of the Obama holdovers. And, you know, I just don't see why he's a military guy, and I like the guy because he's tough. But I don't trust him. He looks like he's a globalist, you know.
Well, yeah, he's a Democrat in military garb is all he really is, and he should be fired, and so should all the holdovers. But, you know, I don't trust very many people in Trump's cabinet. You know, just because I don't trust the neocons doesn't mean I do trust Bannon. You know, I don't trust any of them. I mean, okay, to the point to where they, you know, I can trust somebody to a point.
Right.
All right, you want to build a wall? I agree with you. I trust you for that. That, yeah, you want to do that? You think they're good. You want to do this? That's great, too. But then, on the whole, no, not necessarily, because, you know, Washington, D.C. isn't a swamp. It's a sewer. And, you know, you swim in the sewer long enough, you start smelling bad.
Right.
And I don't care who you are and how clean you were when you jumped in the sewer. You stay in there long enough, you're going to start smelling bad. And I think that's what's happened to a lot of who started out as Trump loyalists.
Right.
They get in there and they just start smelling bad. And the other ones, they came in smelling bad, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a terrible mess. Our government is on the verge of a constitutional crisis.
Yeah.
You know,
nothing's getting done. Look at Congress. They did nothing. And then they blamed it on then the Speaker of the Senate, whatever is McConnell or the other guy.
McConnell.
Yeah, and he put it on Trump. Well, Trump expected too much. Really? You guys have been talking for, 8 years that you were going to get rid of Obamacare? And you said that you would do it, and they actually put the time and that's too much to do after they've been working on for 8 years, and so they've got nothing done.
Can you imagine somebody coming in to where you work, Dan, and expecting you to do your job?
Oh,
that's unreasonable,
God.
Dan. It's unreasonable. It's his fault we didn't get anything done. He expected too much out of us.
Do my work? That would be devastating. No.
I mean, for a guy like McConnell to do that, for the American people to accept that is unbelievable. You know, but it's okay. Maybe unbelievable is the wrong word. It's troubling. Okay, it's troubling.
Actually, I think that we have far more to worry about with this. You said a constitutional crisis. America is at the brink of exploding. If they render Trump, impeach him or do whatever, and renders his presidency void, you know, there are more people that voted for him than voted for Hillary, and I can truthfully say that by looking at the voter rolls, but the point is America's already torn apart. You just haven't seen the rip yet.
Well, yeah, and, you know, I'm one of those people that if they do that, I advocate bring out your boomers and start, you know, going after the enemies, and I mean eradicate them. Because,
right.
See, at that point, that's a coup. And
right.
You don't have any other choice at that point other than to put those chains on and hope they're comfy.
Right.
Because you will be a slave.
Right. Right. And you don't want to live under people don't understand the rule that they would have had if Hillary would have been elected the plans that they had for America or still have, and that's what the problem is,
yep.
that they still have, is enslavement. It is enslavement. It's taking our guns, taking your property rights, and everything else. And, you know, you don't want to live in a communist nation, and that's exactly what it's all about. And it's communism.
Dan, you know, going back to what we were talking about what some of the possible things that we're not supposed to be paying attention to, that's why we've got to keep looking at the madman in North Korea, right?
Right.
Were you aware that the House and the Senate overwhelmingly, and Trump signed it, a bill that, I don't have the name of it, but what it does, it's Russian sanctions, okay?
Right.
And that sounds like, yeah, okay, so we're going to put more sanctions on Russia, right?
Right.
No. What it means is now this bill is going after all Russians, Russian people, okay, the average everyday Russian man or woman who has any assets whatsoever basically outside of Russia. If you have it in Western banks, you know, say you're a Russian guy who's a millionaire, you know, you're doing pretty good, and let's say you've got a Swiss bank account or you keep your money in Germany or somewhere else, right?
Right.
Well, under this bill, it is now subject to be seized by the United States.
That ain't right.
Well, sorry, it's the law.
That ain't right. The citizens didn't do nothing. It's the regime that did it. We'd take two or three hours to talk about whether they did anything or not. But
right. The
point is if they went after anybody, they should go after the regime.
When you tie this Debbie Wasserman Schultz with the DNC and the leaked things with their Pakistani IT guys, you know, and the Russian narrative, you start thinking, well, wait a minute. What was one of Trump's things he ran on? Better relations with Russia.
Right.
Well, and they jumped into action, man, and said, no, no, we're going to make this guy look like a Russian spy who colluded with other Russian spies, and if he does anything that is even reasonable towards Russia, we're going to pounce on him as some traitor to America, and he's committed treason and whatever else, right?
Right.
And that's exactly what they've done. They have wiped out that campaign promise from
absolutely.
A possibility. And I think that is their big thing, because Russia's their big boogeyman, because Russia's the only one that can legitimately challenge the international, meaning Western, banking system.
Right. Well, that's your food for thought. Well, we got to go, Frank. Tell them when your program is, and I'll get you out of here.
8 p.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Pacific, right here on AVRN. And, Dan, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, not a problem. And, folks, go to the radio archives at ABR, and you can listen to our programs. And Frank keeps them all for over there for 2 weeks. So you can go over there and, at your leisure, listen to some of Frank's programs called The Frank Report. Anyway, folks, yes, we don't know what this North Korea thing's about, but you need to keep your eye on Yeshua HaMashiach, your Savior, because the world is in great turmoil. The United States in turmoil. You need to pay attention. But out of all this, you must remember that there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights. Got that? 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Folks, you also need to remember what? What do you need to remember? You need to remember to be a blessing to others. You shouldn't have to remember that. It should be natural if you're saved. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's like praying for Messiah's return. And just pray for the peace of the world, whether it's the U.S. or wherever, because there is going to be no real peace anywhere until Yeshua HaMashiach sets his foot on the Mount Olives and splits the earth, and you know what happens next. Anyway, Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.